And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Glovers Cast, the only podcast dedicated to bringing positivity and joy about the world of a Yeovil Town Football Club. Dave's back. Welcome, Dave.
Filled with positivity and joy as per.
And the Wanderer returns. I don't know if he's a Bolton Wanderer, a Wolverhampton Wanderer, but he is a Wanderer. Mr. Ben Barrett, welcome back.
Hello, I also bring both joy and positivity. How are you doing?
Good. Where the hell have you been?
I had to use up some of my holiday balance. So I put in a request with HR and I had a little bit of time off.
Sorry. Well, we've not won since you've been off. So
okay, yep. Yeah. That's not positive or joyous.
No.
I was going to say, which HR department did he speak to you about this, Ian, or did he speak to me? I'm guessing this is Ben's full-time job, isn't it?
Nothing else to do, has he?
He's taking a holiday off from us. That's what he's saying, basically. Yeah.
He's
consciously uncoupled from me and Dave for a few weeks.
I did. I had a little pause, a little backward step. It's fine. It's all good. We're back. We're back, baby. We're back.
We're back. About damn time, Ben.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, Ben, we lost to Welling at home. We lost to Chippenham at home.
That sounds bad.
We drew with Avely. You weren't around for the Avely chat, were you?
No, I don't think so.
No, drew with Avely. And then, obviously, last weekend, we drew with Slough.
Okay, so we drew on a couple of plastic pitches and lost on a couple of the nice home...
Lost the home record, Ben. Lost the home record. All because of you.
I know.
I hope you're proud of yourself.
I am proud of myself. I just wanted to make things interesting.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It's fine.
Well, yeah. Well done.
I just wanted to try and make things interesting. That's all. Okay. That's all. We're still going to walk this division by 6 million miles. Don't worry about it.
6 million miles. Well, it's been one of those weeks. No midweek game. Not a lot to talk about in the world of Yeovil Town. I suppose today we have seen a horrific statement from Malachi Linton about the...
excuse me a minute, I've just got to go on port.
The ending of his loan spell at some Seagull botherers who picked up a handy point, actually, in fairness.
I don't completely dislike them for what they did on Tuesday. They could have kicked a few more of them, got some injuries in there maybe, but...
Yeah, Agent Mal. Maybe his job's done and he's, I don't know what he's doing. Sitting out the rest of his contract.
Being injured for the next 12 weeks, I think. So, yeah. I think from that gushing praise, we can assume where he's going to be playing his trade next season.
National League South. Mm. So not a lot has happened, but we've got a few things we can talk about, I think. Shall we start?
It's good for an audio podcast, isn't it?
Always helpful. Always helpful.
Should we talk about the independent regulator for football? Could be coming in, could be, as cross-party parliamentary support, whatever that means these days. I assume Labour and Reform back it, because... Doesn't matter what the others do.
Oh, he's making political points here, Ben.
Sorry.
Well, to be fair, I was going to point out that this has been rumbling on for about 3 or 4 years now, and old Rishi decides to pull it out of his back pocket a couple of months before a blooming general election.
And Ben has just called the date for the general election a couple of months from now. Hang on a minute. There's exclusives knocking all right, left, right, and centre.
Exactly, here. Yeah. Found time for that now, didn't you, big man? Not big man, little man. Very little man.
Right.
Still
careful.
Have a job.
So, yeah, the regulator, it sounds like it's going to be coming in at some point, but it's hard to know when. But for those who don't know, it's this independent body that will sort of make sure football is not got wrong'uns doing wrong stuff, which we know all about, and also ensure that football clubs remain sustainable and solvent. There's lots of different things that they've talked about in terms of changing your color of your kit and all these sort of like deciding to relocate and big decisions, which supporters
selling
would be
your stadium
able
to a local council, something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Selling assets that supporters would, you know, there'd be this golden share that supporters would be able to.
Is that like the Britain's Got Talent golden buzzer?
Yes.
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing.
Without the ticket tape.
I like the idea of a dodgy owner, the dude at Reading, trying to sell off the stadium to Wycombe Wanderers, and just a, like a jury duty style letter just falls on the doormat of some Reading fan. You have been selected to go and press the golden buzzer. And that person has to wander up to the Reading stadium and just press the golden buzzer as if to say, no, you cannot sell this training ground.
Dai Young opens a card, one of those cards, and just all the confetti just explodes.
Oh, I've been had.
I tell you what, the Reading-Wickham situation took a little bit of the heat off Kate and William, didn't it, this week?
Yeah.
The Cooigs getting in trouble with Reading fans and Wickham fans about all of that. Oof.
They are big royalists in Reading, aren't they, I'd have thought.
Very good. Very good, Dave.
Very good.
So they reckon it could be in place from like summer 2025 if, you know, people decide to sort that sort of thing out rather than the entire country first. But I think, I mean, for me, especially with our experience in previous seasons and seeing what we've seen happen at Torquay this season and plenty of clubs up and down the country, generally feels like a good thing and something that needed to be done. And I think off the back of it all is the point that it was off the back of a fan-led review that was, you know, a big part of that with the Football Supporters Association. I think it was Tracy Crouch, wasn't it, when she was in Parliament, sort of pulled it all together. Yeah. And something that, you know, the proof will be in the pudding when it arrives and when it all comes to fruition. But how anyone can think that current situation in football is sustainable is beyond me. But you'll see the people who don't agree with it are the multi-gazillionaires at the very top of the pyramid who quite like things the way they are, which is not too surprising.
No. I do think it is a positive gesture. It feels like we're still a long way away from actually having it set in stone and what it will look like and who will be behind it and quite what they'll be able to do. I mean, are they really going to tell Man City to not do something bad? Because they'll just say, well, fine, we'll go and we'll disappear and we'll be somewhere else. Or are they going to care genuinely? I saw a quote saying, we want to avoid the upsetting cases of Bury and Macclesfield Town. And I'm like, you probably don't even know where Macclesfield is, mate. Don't you like how much is it genuinely going to affect real level supporters at our level, so to speak? So I have my doubts that it will be everything it says on the tin, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think it will be the panacea of anything, but yeah. I would suggest that what we've got now is far from that as well. So
yeah.
Anything which comes in is a step in the right direction, but no, completely agree that those people who are worried about it will be the people who will be the people who've got something to hide, something to lose, given it's the Premier League, who seem to be more worried about it than anything, I'd imagine hopefully their loss will be some people's gain. And we all support a football club which is in the lower reaches of the very lower reaches at the moment of the football pyramid, but we've spent a lot of our time in the in the nether regions. So hopefully some of that money.
Hang on.
That says more about the two of you than it does about me. All of you lot that are sniggering as well. It says more about you than it does about me.
You can't say we're spending a lot of time in the nether regions and not expect a reaction. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, if you're going to react to the nether regions, Ben, then that's entirely on you.
So what in football in terms are the nether regions, Dave?
The lower leagues. I would say anything from League One downwards. I would say the championship. Championship and the Premier League are a world apart from League One, League Two, National League South, etc. The nether regions. But anyway, I hope there's some of that money, because let's be honest, there is a ridiculous amount of money at the top of the game. Does genuinely filter its way down into everything, all the way down into the proper grassroots and youth leagues and all of that kind of stuff, because that is where the money's really needed, not lining the pockets of someone who's already got fairly well-lined pockets, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I've never checked Sheikh Mansour's pockets, but I'm guessing they're well-lined.
I expect he's so rich he doesn't even have pockets, Dave.
Probably. Oh, to be so rich you don't need pockets, eh?
Everyone carries those things for him. Yeah. And I think when you look at, you know, talking about teams in the nether regions, have you seen what's happened at like Chorley Town this week? A team that were in the same league as Yeovil not too long ago. So they had an owner come in, a majority owner who came in and has then sold off his stake to 10 different other companies. So there's like 10 individual owners of like Chorley, and it's all going wrong there. You've got teams like Morecambe, where there's the guy who's apparently an energy drink business owner who's meant to be taking over. I mean, even at the top, like Sheffield United, the situation them and their ownership, like, it isn't just, I don't know,
Nottingham Forest owner trying to chase a referee down a, you know what I mean? These people are just not work. I mean, you can go to the very top and talk about Newcastle's owners. There's some asterisks and question marks attached to them, isn't there? Jeez. and that comes all the way down. And you are right. When you talk about the money, Dave, filtering down, you talk about facilities. I mean, tonight, Plymouth Parkway are having to play at home park at Plymouth because their fixture list is not going to be completed. Truro are having to play games at Gloucester because otherwise their fixture list won't be completed. We know what problems Taunton have had. And it is important that facilities are maintained in a better standard, and money does find its way down to enable that.
We hear so many politicians talk about the importance of community, don't we? And whilst I wouldn't claim that a football club is the community, in a lot of places it is a huge part of that community. So,
yeah.
And I'm sure anyone
One of the few parts of a community that will bring thousands of people together all at once.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's nowhere else in Yeovil where 3,000 people rock up at one time. So, other than maybe like Westlands, might be the only place, but they have to. Sorry, not Westlands anymore. Leonardo's.
Who? Oh right, yeah. So to work, you
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, not the venue. No. That won't hold 3,000.
I was going to say, who's going in there? It's a crowd of 3,000. Take that to the act.
Yeah. Great. I think it's a step forward for football. Yeah. And like we said, better than what we got.
Yeah, without question.
So on to the Glovers. Mark Cooper did a press. Up the Glovers, there we go. Mark Cooper and Morgan Williams on presser duty this week. Let's start with Morgs. Turning down England for the title running.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in the same basket as Bukayo Saka now, isn't he, as well? Saka's pulled out. Williams has pulled out.
There you go.
He's got nothing.
He's in turmoil. Yeah.
I read somewhere that it's Paul Fairclough, isn't it? The England C manager.
Yeah, Awful.
Yeah. He's been England C manager for 21 years.
Yeah. He
was. Yeah, how many games has he? He's probably only had like 21 games. They only seem to play once a year, don't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely mad. And they lost.
They did, yeah. It was a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, as far as Morgan's concerned, more power to his elbow, I would say. He said in his press conference, didn't he?
Hang on.
Come on, never heard of this phrase.
From nether regions to the elbow. More power to his elbow.
Have you not heard that? It's like, good on you. More power to your elbow.
More power to you, but nothing to do with your elbow.
Are you playing like body bingo tonight where you've got to get like references?
I might be writing this down. Yeah, yeah.
References to like body parts without us really knowing or clocking it. Yeah. And so far, you failed
twice. Somebody else was checking that. Yeah. Anyway, all I was going to say was well done, Morgan. He's got a goal that he wants to achieve and he's not letting anything get in the way of it. Good man.
I don't think I'd have turned it down. I think it's one of those weird things that might not come up an awful lot.
Well, it wouldn't for you, would it?
Oh, but I just think. Remember, was it last year?
I think Paul Fairclough watches the Perry Street League, mate, to be honest with you.
Circa 2001.
He hasn't got anything else to do.
He probably scored some goals for Coombs and Nicholas. C. Yeah. Coombs and Nicholas is reserves.
This is why I took a couple of weeks off.
Number 10 from Coombs and Nicholas in.
This is why I took a couple of weeks off. Bullying in the workplace.
Yeah. He doesn't need to come here to get abused. He can go anywhere he likes.
Correct. Correct. What was I saying? I don't know what I was saying.
You were saying wouldn't have turned it down.
No, I would have. I think I would have played. I think it's a cool thing at any level to be asked to play, to be asked to do anything for your country at that kind of level. We've, as a club, had it in the past, haven't we? We've had players called up. Wheel, Way, Johnson, Skivett and Jackson. We had loads of them for a while. And then Worthington got called up. And then was whittled down out of the squad, wasn't he? When they went from 20 to 16
they did like
or whatever.
A 30 man, didn't they?
And yeah. I think I would have found that very difficult to turn down. And so I think that's probably a massive credit to himself. And whatever discussions were had, you know, fair play, because I think me and probably plenty of actual professional footballers would have turned around and gone, actually, I would have quite liked to have done that.
What did Mark Cooper say about it? Didn't Mark Cooper say he would have snookered us if we'd lose? It would snooker us if we lose Morgan Williams. So, yeah, I think sounds like we're happy. It's a bit like Fergie making sure like Scholes and Beckham didn't go to friendlies and
like a football manager. Where football manager when they get called up and you should be able to set whether or not they could play in friendlies for 45 minutes or a full game.
Yeah. So fair play to Morgan.
Yeah, fair play.
I don't think you agree with that, Ben.
No, I do. Extra fair play to him because I would have done it. I would have gone.
And he was also talking about his partnership with Jake Wannell and saying that he never really had a partner in that position because probably fair to say that most of his time with us, he's either been injured or playing left back, right back, or central defensive midfield. The best pairing I can remember Morgan Williams having, other than Jake Wannell, and I would agree Jake Wannell was probably the best because he played the most with him, was when he first arrived, it was him and Gabby Osho, wasn't it? Do you remember when he came on loan the first time? Yeah. And I'm sure in the very first game I saw him, I thought Morgan Williams looked like the better player. And now Gabby Osho is playing in the Premier League.
Good spot of a talent, Dave. Good spot of talent.
Yeah. Put me in charge of it. I'll write a recruitment blog soon. Number one, Gabby Osho. Looked all right, not quite as good as Morgan Williams.
I think
pick him up.
I think it says something about where we were at the start of the season, because when we signed Jamie Sendles White, I don't know about anyone else, but I kind of assumed that we would start the season with Staunton and Sendles White. And actually, very, very quickly, it became the complete opposite. It became Wannall and Williams quite quickly. And yeah, it's been, well, it's not too far pushed to say it's probably the reason we'll win this league because of how good we have been defensively with those two. And then those around them, Smith and Whittle and Day in goal. It's a huge part. And I'm a big fan of it. And yeah, glad to see Morgan Williams. Morgan Williams has been through a lot with this football club. He's getting to the stage of being Matt Worthington levels of, he's seen a few things. And for Jake Wannall to come in and just slot in seamlessly, I think it's a real testament to the way they've gone about things this season. And yeah, like I say, it's probably the reason why we will end up winning this league at some point.
And I think that what you were saying there about Sendles, White and Staunton, because I wouldn't have disagreed with you, probably tells you something about Jake Wannall as well. Because
He
kind of came in as this unproven guy who played for Taunton, who was in the later stages. Are you all right with that expression, yeah? The later stages of his career at the age of 29.
Not the back end.
Not the back end, no, not the nether regions. He's in the later stages of his career, at the age of 29. But he's been, he must have wished that he'd met a professional football coach years ago. The way that he's he's playing,
yeah. And speaking of professional football coaches,
oh yeah, do you know any?
I do, yeah. Mr. Mark Cooper.
I've heard of him. Yeah. What's he doing these days?
He's given a couple of injury updates.
Okay.
Alex Whittle has a great chance of being back this weekend.
Okay, man.
And Ollie Thomas is a growing lad. Mm-hmm. And his knees are sore from growing.
Yeah.
Growing pains?
He's got growing pains, yeah. He is only 18.
Huge. Yeah, but he's huge. He can't grow anymore.
Well, apparently he's still growing.
Yeah.
Don't make him angry. You won't like him when he's angry.
Huge.
Yeah. He will be. But yes, and it sounded like, despite what Rich, the Slough fan, told us about their very consistent surface, Mark Cooper was not a fan of the surface or its consistency by the sounds of it. So, I wasn't there to be able to judge for myself. But, yeah, he didn't. I would assume that kind of impact on already sore knees is probably not a clever thing to do, but he was there, Ollie Thomas. Apparently, he was sat in the stands alongside Ed Turnbull, who was apparently checking flight radar to see what the flights were going over from Heathrow at Slough.
That's so how good the game was.
I was going to say, Watts, he gave us a clue on Monday as to how good that game was, and I think that probably just underlines a point. Debs was also doing that as well. She's a big, she's a bit of a plane spotter on the quiet, I think. Well, not that quiet, if you talk to her. I'm sure she'll tell you.
Well, you've told the whole listenership, Dave.
Well, I have, and I'm sure Debs won't mind.
You've told 3 million people.
If anybody can get Debs on an A380, she'll be your best friend for life, I think.
Are those the big noisy ones?
The big ones that have, like, double-decker ones.
Okay,
yeah.
I often listen because we're near the airbase. And I can recognize the sound of ones. And if they're unusual sound that I don't often hear, I run to the window.
There, aren't they?
Well, sometimes we get the big planes, like they do like a lap and you think they're going to land, but they don't and they carry on somewhere else.
Right.
Anyway, that's got nothing to do with Yeovil Town.
No,
good more plane Yeovil chat.
Yeah.
More Yeovil Town. The other.
They sound Scottish. Yeovil Town.
Oh, just for the record, that wasn't me. That was Dave making the Scottish impression there.
Sorry, Dom.
manager also said, which I thought was quite funny, that he would rather be 4-0 up with 10 minutes to go than think about his Sunday dinner.
I think we're all in the same boat. Aligned.
We're aligned
on that one.
Why don't we try that on Saturday?
Yeah.
Let's have a go.
Yeah.
Let's just
I don't
try
know
it.
What I'm doing for Sunday dinner either. So, you know, give
well, you
me
can
some
think
time
about
think.
You exactly. can think about that in your final 10 minutes before. Yeah. Let's try that on Saturday. Yeah. And then if we like it, we could do it again Friday and then Monday.
Yeah. And then Saturday. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm for that.
Good.
For that.
Good idea. Let's do it.
And is that last couple seconds of us talking, is that us not building negative narrative.
No.
Yeah.
Is it? Yes or no?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
No, yes. Yes. No.
And yeah. Is it our job to build negative narrative?
It was a weird line, wasn't it? It was a weird line because I haven't seen any of this. Like, there's been negative social media and there's been negative from a sort of a select few in the crowd. But actually, I don't think I've seen press be negative. And I would count conversations I've had with BBC Somerset. I would say that we, if we fall under that category of content creation and press and all the rest of it, then we certainly haven't been. We've been realistic, but we haven't been negative. I haven't read the Western Gazette recently. Have they just been like moaning in the Western Gazette or something? I don't know.
It's copy and paste.
Yeah. Three Valleys, it doesn't strike me as being particularly negative. They love the football club. Like, I don't, it was a weird line. It was a weird line.
I think it's one of those lines, isn't it? The press or the mainstream media that people throw out at this nebulous, you know, the group of people that when nobody can think of who they actually blame for something, it's just, oh, it's the press. Oh, it's the media. Yeah, useless politicians do it constantly about the media being to blame for everything. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty that the media do absolutely wrong. But yeah, they do a lot of things wrong. But I think it's just a easy group of people to blame. And as you say, Ben, I think with regards to the Overtown Football Club, the press, the official press, I don't think have been anything other than overly supportive. I mean, bloody hell, most of the people who report on either the BBC, Three Valleys, us, say the Western Gazette, we're all supporters of the football club, aren't we? Sheridan's a supporter, Liam's a supporter, Tom and Dave and all the lot on Three Valleys are all supporters. Everyone wants the football club to do well, and you know, if we can't be positive about this season, when can we be positive? So yeah, I think it's probably just I can't think who I really want to point the finger at, so I'll just say the press, and that's a nice nebulous group of people that aren't going to come back at me.
I really hope that he doesn't think that it's just a misspeak, because, like I say, I think we three, as much as anyone, can probably be a testament to just how positive we have been, even during horrible, horrible times at the back end of last season. We kept it as light as we could and kept it as positive as we could. We entitled a podcast, one of these, the Oliver Bore Harriet Axis of Excitement. If that isn't being overly positive about things that turned into an absolute shit show, I don't know what is. So,
yeah. Hey, Oliver Bore is doing all right now.
Going to say, banging him in for Halifax
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can play on the sand up there at Halifax.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't do it for us, but there we go.
There you go.
Well, no, we did, didn't he? That game that we saw up there, I seem to remember, was him and it was playing fullback with him.
Agbaji,
that was it. Yeah.
They were brilliant, weren't they, that day?
They were good. Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe he just needs to play on sand.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he left there. Maybe he just left there and went, the only place I'm going to play any good is up here. I'm just going to move it. I genuinely think we're positive. I'm happy to put my neck on the line and say we're still winning this league and winning it very, very easily. We need 12 points as an absolute maximum.
I just want to add that there's nothing negative about the headline, 5 conclusions, Slough Town 0, Yeovil Town 0.
No, exactly. I think that's probably the most positive thing anyone said. Yeah, except for about the splendid A380 that went over at some point as well. So there you go.
There you go indeed. So Braintree, unbeaten in 14.
Positive.
Not lost since the turn of the year, I don't think, have they?
January the 1st, they last lost. They lost
on the turn of the year.
Yeah, exactly the turn of the year. Yeah, or just into the year. They play midnight on New Year's Eve. No.
They play on a swamp, don't they?
Not a great surface, which Who was it said that? Can't remember. One of our fan contributors said, it might have been Rich actually, the Slough fan. I think they'd been there. And yeah. He said that he much preferred their surface to playing on a bit of a rutted surface, shall we say. But I think anybody who saw the away travel guide will see, you know, the sheer beauty of Braintree, which is summarised by a discarded Sainsbury's trolley outside, I think. So
I'm really looking forward. That wasn't placed there either. That was
no. That was there. It was in its natural environment. It's
concreted in, like.
Yeah. No. Not modern art or anything like that.
No. Oh, okay. Just left.
Yeah. Just left. Discarded.
Alone, some Sainsbury's trolley left to blow around in the wind. Well, they're the informed team in the division, right? In the last 18 points. Good at home, don't concede a lot of goals.
Can we add some context? Because you are right in what you're saying, but I think you're verging on spreading a negative. What's the word I'm looking for?
Narrative
on proceedings. I'd like to spread a positive narrative on proceedings here, because I'm looking at those same stats for you, and they've played Weymouth twice back-to-back and only scored one goal against them. And that was a fairly late goal down at the Bobby Lucas. Couldn't get past them on Tuesday night. They needed a red card, two late red cards, and a last-minute goal to get past Dartford, who are really rubbish. That was in their last home game prior to the Weymouth game. They couldn't beat Slough. They couldn't beat Welling. They're both rubbish teams. Had to come from behind. Late goals against Bath. Only one goal to beat Worthing, only one goal to beat Tunbridge, only one goal to beat Torquay. Most of these goals are late. Most of these goals are preventable. Only one goal to beat Chippenham.
They are all goals, though, Ben.
They are all goals, but what I'm saying is they're preventable. No, because we're better than Chippenham. We're better than Torquay. We're better than Tunbridge. We're better than Bath and Welling and Slough and these teams. I think we have a better chance of stopping their one goal, their one moment.
Three of those teams you listed, we've not beaten.
I don't care. That's negative narrative.
Sorry,
I'm not having
narrative.
It.
Yeah, narrative. Sorry.
The last time they actually beat somebody properly was when they beat Dover 3-0, and they're really rubbish. Scraped past Truro, drew against Maidstone, beat Hampden and Richmond. I'd argue their last proper victory was on the 6th of January.
What was their the last game they got 3 points?
What have you been doing while you've not been here, Ben?
Just saying. So they lost against Chelmsford on New Year's Day. Then they had a really good win.
Behind you, Ben?
And then they won against Hampden and Richmond. Proper good victory that. Well done. 3-1. Yeah. Since then, they've all been much of a muchness.
Yeah. And reading the words of their manager, Angelo Harrop, or in their local paper, actually, he was saying that he felt there was pressure on his side, and he wanted his side to embrace the pressure of playing the team at the top of the league. He said that the last time they had a big crowd in there was when they played Chelmsford, which I think might have been a Boxing Day game, because that's a local derby.
They lost,
and they lost 3-0. Yeah, so
can't handle the pressure.
Well, that's it. And I think we mentioned it before the Slough game. It is a game where our fans can play a role and, you know, create an atmosphere there, which is inspiring to our team, and hopefully makes them feel a bit nervous. I'm slightly nervous myself because they don't sell tickets in advance, and I bet you it will be one of those places that's got like two turnstiles and
are you setting off, Dave, to get
well, are you going, Dave?
Yeah, I'm going, but my train is not due until 10 to 2 or something like that, I think. So it's not that far. It actually stops at a an outlet mall, the train. So maybe I'll go and pick up some discount Nikes and find my way in there.
Yeah. Some more looking at shops, Dave, before.
Yeah. Braintree Freeport, I think it's called. Wow. I don't know how you get a port by a bloody in landlocked Braintree, but there we go.
Is that like the ones in Middlesbrough that people have controversially put through?
I think it's just a name for a big like outlet mall.
Okay.
Basically, mall, not even a mall, just a shopping park with lots of outlet stores in. Like a Clark's Village.
Like a Giant's Causeway.
Yes, exactly. Like a Giant's Causeway.
We are back to the bullying again. Okay, yeah. Brilliant. Thanks.
Okay, so Braintree, despite going 14 unbeaten, haven't actually won really.
Never had properly. A proper win.
Not a proper January. Win. No. Yeah, no proper win since
whilst we've had proper games against proper teams,
and... such as Welling and Chippenham and Slough.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think one thing that's undeniable is they got some good players. They got a lad called Wakefield, who we know, if he's fit and firing, can be decent. They've got. I think they've got Alfie Pavey, who scored a lot of goals at this level for Farnborough and then went to Woking, didn't do anything. Now he's back on loan there. They've got, who was the lad that they signed, the striker, who's quite familiar now? Shaquille Colthurst.
Yeah.
Plays in front of him. So they got some good players. They got players who've been there. Mark Cooper said in his press conference today that when we played them at our place on Pink Day, they were one of the few teams that came and actually played the way they play rather than shutting up shop at our place. And we won that game 2-0, so hopefully they do that again. But
that's not a proper win, though, was it? 2-0's not proper.
No, I don't think so. No. It's not.
No, it was.
No, it was.
Okay. They could, because they couldn't handle the pressure of having a big crowd around them, which they're going to struggle with again on non-league day. So,
yeah.
But
yeah, no, they it is non-league day as well, isn't it? Because the international break, which means it's on a street. Am I right?
Correct. Yes.
Will you be watching him?
Work might get in the way of it'll be on. I'll have the stream. How much I intently pay attention to it, I don't know.
Likewise, Saturday afternoons peak jobs times. Unfortunately, is there anything more non-league day than a stadium called the Rare Breed Meat Company Stadium?
Strange, and supplementary question, what is your favourite rare breed meat?
I had I think it was a kangaroo burger at Glastonbury 1 year.
It was sold to me as crocodile. That was in Barbados.
It was alligator.
No, and I'm not sure how many crocodiles they have in Barbados. I'm not sure how many alligators they have, to be honest with you, but yeah.
According to their website, the Rare Breed Meat Company, they list as having beef, pork, lamb, poultry, game, and gammons. I'd argue they're fairly common.
It's not very rare, this, is it? Anything more exotic in there, Ben?
That's it. It doesn't specifically state what poultry is, whether or not they're going to get an ostrich in there or something.
Yeah.
But
dodo or something. Yeah.
That would be rare.
Yeah, that would be rare. Looking forward to it. I mean, the burgers should be good, shouldn't they?
You'd hope so. You'd be disappointed if they're not.
Yeah. So there's some kind of grill when I was filling in the away guide. There's some kind of local grill house, which is going to be feeding the away support. So here we go.
I'll try and have a look through their website, but the worst still.
Oh, what, the Braintree website?
Yeah. Like I say, I thought we were about the Rare Breed Meats Co.
No, they've got a good website.
Yeah.
They've got a
very good website.
See, if I click on that, if I click on beef, rare breeds, the rare breeds we offer, Angus beef, I've heard of this.
It can't be that rare.
Yeah, but there's a lot more underneath, Ben. English Longhorn, Red Poll, Shorthorn, Dexter, the Free Belted
Dexter,
Galloway.
Not Dexter Tyson, is it? They're not serving him up, surely.
Free range chicken is not rare. I'm not having that.
Maybe it is these days.
Yeah, maybe it is. When was the last time you saw a free range chicken, Ben?
It's true.
I don't see them free ranging around Leeds City Centre, do you?
Rare Breed Meat Company Stadium.
Well,
I am absolutely here for ridiculous company names on stadium sponsorship, by the way. I wholeheartedly encourage more ridiculously named companies to sponsor stadiums.
York had Kit Kat Crescent, didn't they, for a while?
They did.
Yeah.
Yes, because Nestle is there in York.
Can't really think of too many ridiculous
ones. Lewis. Is it Lewis to have the dripping pan?
Oh, they do. Yeah. Lancaster City, which is up near me, they have the Giant Axe, it's called. That's the name of their ground. Oh, that's quite a good one.
That's not imposing, a brand, isn't it? But... that's like, yeah, you'd be worried going there.
Yeah.
That's place to go, the Giant Axe.
The Giant Axe, exactly, yeah. Apparently, if you look at it from the sky, it is shaped like a giant axe.
Like Tottenham's is shaped like a toilet seat.
Was that an Arsenal joke of some kind?
Well, no, it looks like a toilet seat.
It does look like a toilet seat. It does. Farsley's used to be called the Throstle Nest, but they've since changed it to the Citadel.
Wow. That sounds intimidating too. Is that where you went there the other night?
And then and then you go there and you think, this is not intimidating. It certainly wasn't very intimidating for the good
Coliseum of Farsley.
The good people of Rushall Olympics certainly found it very unintimidating.
Oh, maybe they just named it the Citadel just for Olympic to turn up. I think one of the most ridiculous ones I've heard is the Chris Wheat Stadium.
Yes, the Beverly. The Beverly. Yeah.
It's true.
Indeed. But yes, the Rare Breed Meats Company. I will as someone who picked up 3 points on their last outing, I will be heading down.
On a train rather than driving because of the points. Whee!
Good point. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I will be on the train, but only because I put 5,000 miles on my car that I only got in December. So thank you very much, Yeovil.
No one's making you go, Dave.
Relegation. That's what.
If anything, people are begging you to not go.
Well, I won my last game.
Yeah.
Who else on this podcast can say the last time they saw Yeovil Town play, they won?
Nope.
There you go. Whether I can still say that on Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, positive narrative.
You can.
Yeah,
absolutely. There you go.
Best team in the league. Still.
And now you're going to believe us.
We should note that we had our first relegation confirmed in the National League North. Bishop Stortford have gone officially, and if you remember correctly, they were the team that kicked off after being bumped up into the north, because they are very much south.
Yeah, they are. But it's not that far from Braintree, is it? Is it something like 12 miles or something?
If you were going on longitude and latitude, Braintree is actually more north.
Right.
But because they are more in the Essex South East area, they kept themselves in the south. It was going to be a one of either Braintree or Bishops, I think, that ended up getting bumped up. And in the end, it was Stortford.
Wow. Yeah. Given all that travelling, I'm amazed that it's taken this long.
Yeah.
Goodness me. Before we go into questions, little segue into Charity Corner.
Charity.
Firstly, shout out to Chris Angelo of Green and White Goals, who is still on the walk for his Samaritan fundraiser. He has passed 100 miles this week and is on the course to break 150. Yeah. Yeah. As in this week, he's gone over 100 miles.
Oh, I see. He hasn't done 100 miles in a week. That is
in a week. No. No, it's not Dave driving, is it? Come on.
True.
Yeah. So well done, Chris. And you can still donate to Chris's fundraiser on Just Giving. He's fundraising for Samaritans. And he is at the totalizers going. He's at 68% of his £500 target.
Nice.
It's £340 for the quick maths types.
Good maths.
Good work, Chris. Keep it up.
Great work. That's what it is.
If you can Tremendous give, please work. Give generously.
And Marcus Stewart.
What a guy.
Glover's past guest, Marcus Stewart, is the March of the Day. Does it start today?
Today,
Friday,
as
you're
listening.
Raising money for the Derby Rimmer Foundation. I think, but did Mark Cooper say that is that Marcus Stewart's wife is doing all of the walk, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lot of walking. Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the chat between Marcus and Stuart Robbins.
Yep. Very good. Very nice.
Good, wholesome content.
Love it. Absolutely love that kind of content. And he got a good shout out on the Mundial podcast as well, as we found out this morning, didn't he?
Did. He did as well. What's the segment called again? Apologies. Segment Adventures in Clubland on the Mundial.
Reminding podcast. You why you love football, they call it, don't they?
The yeah, podcast? They do. Yeah. Yeah, lovely little segment about Marcus Stewart after scoring a winning goal at Anfield for Ipswich Town and then ending up our hero.
Yeah, we do have to say that Yeovil Town fan Seb White is one of the hosts on this podcast, and that's why Yeovil Town gets regular mentions on the podcast and in the magazine. So.
I think this week he was in charge of the podcast as well.
He which was, is... so he decided, I'm doing what I bloody well like. Yeah,
that's what I do when you two aren't here.
Yeah, we've noticed.
Yeah, we know.
All
yeah.
Right, okay.
Right, questions?
Let's go.
Let's go for it. Where is Twitter? There we go. Mr. Pro Pilot. Wonder if he's flied an A380. Has Jay Falston done enough to be signed on for next season?
Yeah, I think he's in a difficult situation in so much as he's coming into the one of the most established back fives in the division. Going from part-time to full-time and all the rest of it, and you think about the struggles that Jordan Young had last season, I absolutely would keep him for next year. I think he's too valuable in too many different places to not have him. He would benefit massively from a full-time preseason, and that time is only going to do him well. Yeah, for me, I definitely would keep him.
Yeah, he strikes you as one of those players. I mean, without mentioning all Taunton players, but Jake Ronald, Dylan Morgan, and Jay Falston coming from part-time to full-time coaching as well. You'd imagine that they're all players that. There's more to come from all of them, isn't there?
Definitely.
It must be so hard, like you said, to come into a team where you've got an established back five and a player like Alex Whittle, who is like Mr. Reliable in this team, to then come in, not get a run of games, but have to come in at a position or, you know, fill in
for 20 minutes and do a bit in a defense that we know has troubles when it goes from a 4 to a 3 and all the rest of it. Like, yeah, absolutely, he has had it difficult, but he is more than deserving in my mind of a proper pre-season and a proper crack at it full time from next year.
Not heard Ben say deserves a proper pre-season for a couple of years now. Mr. Pro Pilot also asks, will Jordan Young start next season as well as he started this one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I hope so. Let's hope he finishes this season as well as he started this season.
Amen. Yep.
And if we've kind of had this before. If we get promoted, where should this team finish in the league?
Win the league. Positive narrative.
Positive narrative. Well, I think saying mid-table is quite a positive narrative.
I think we're good enough to hold our own. But yeah, we'll probably lose as many as we win. Maybe draw a couple as well. So.
And then when you look at the state of the National League and the teams that went up have found it very difficult.
Yeah.
And the teams with sociopaths running them are finding it difficult as well. Yeah.
There's some tosh in that division above, by the way.
Yeah.
There just is.
Adam Barrington, if you could go back and relive a past season, which one and why?
Winter, probably. Much.
Yeah. Why would you pick winter, Ben?
Winter's the best one!
Give me some sunshine.
No, winter's the best one. It has Christmas.
It has rained for the last 3 months, Ben. I want to see the sun and I want summer, please.
No.
Trying to answer the question that was asked.
I did answer the question that was asked, by the way. Well,
I would say the 2012-13 season, which got us to the playoff final, just for that run where we won where, you know, winning every week against teams that we had no right to be beating. Going to Coventry and winning is one that sticks out in my mind.
Darren Way won at Coventry, Ben. Dave, sorry.
Well, yeah.
That's throwing me under the bus here, mate.
5-2.
Yeah. 6-2, wasn't it?
6-2.
Yeah, sorry, Zoko up front, wasn't it? But there were a good few. Sheffield United there.
I think you're probably right, Dave, but I do think there's an argument of the championship season. Like, I know we lost a lot of games, but blooming heck, that was fun.
Can I go 0-1, 0-1, 0-2? So I can see.
Of course you can.
No, not 0-1, 0-2, sorry. 0-2, 0-3.
I was trying to think. It was
FA Trophy.
Chris Locke and Al James Hannigan.
0-2, 0-3. So I can see Demba score his hat trick against Southport again.
Yeah. And see Chris Will make that save in the trophy final. Was that the one?
That was the season before.
Oh, season
that was the trophy. Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. The conference winning season.
2-0-3, wasn't it? 0-2, 0-3.
Yeah. Yeah. I am going to choose the 2013-14 season when we won the National League South by a country mile.
There we go. Rare breed meat Dexter Tyson would like to know, with the season nearly ending and a new kits around the corner, would you like the shirts to be a retro style or a totally new design?
I don't care.
Oh, now come on.
What do you think of the England kit?
It's fine.
It's fine. People kicking off about the flag, aren't they? Weirdos. Yeah, on the back of the shirt.
People kick off about everything. Yeah, goalkeeper kit's nice. Oh, shout out for Giles Moore as well, by the way. He was in the announcement thing, wasn't he, as a goalkeeper?
Yes.
Good shout. That's nice. How cool was that? Yeah. All those, like, legends. And I was like, that's our dude. Yeah, kits are nice. In terms of the new kits, this year's has been the best for a long time. I've really liked this year's.
I think it's because we've won lots of games in it.
No, I liked it when before we kicked the ball in it.
Yeah.
I think I like the slightly darker green.
It's a Jaguar green.
Yeah, slightly darker green, bit of pinstripes, something classical along those lines. Fine. I still think there's room for a solid green shirt.
Okay. Do you reckon we should go for like retro shorts as well, like, you know, in the 80s where they used to wear
really
like
go down past their knees?
Really
the 80s, they were the short shorts, weren't they?
Yeah,
I thought you were talking
Alex
Stock style.
No, yeah, Nether region shorts. Yeah, get them in them.
See you at dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, retro style. I like a collar. There you are. Jonathan Hooper. It's been a quiet week by YTFC standards. Are you delighted by this, but also slightly unnerved?
Laser focused is what I would prefer to call it as. Laser focused on the task at hand.
Yeah.
I've grown quite accustomed to the quiet weeks.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, they have been quiet. I certainly prefer them to the weeks where nothing happened on the pitch last season or the season before that. I definitely prefer that.
Yeah, I would take that over unpaid players.
Yeah.
Council deals being done.
Checking bloody companies out every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, what's this notification?
Yeah. What's CV Leisure up to you now? Not very much, I don't think.
What exactly is a Max May?
Maximum.
There we go. I think that's all of them.
There.
Okay.
Looking at my I think so.
Are we all Taunton and Torquay this weekend, lads? Is that what we are?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
you tell me what to be, Ben, and I will be it.
Yeah, you need to be Taunton as they host Chelmsford, maybe. And Torquay.
They did play an actual game.
And then Torquay against Hampden and Richmond. So the survival dogfight continues at the bottom of the table with Taunton and Torquay right in the mix. They could both do us a bit of a favour.
Tony Fern on Facebook is the only questioner on Facebook, and he asked, charity match, end of the season to celebrate, promotion between Yeovil Town men and Yeovil Town ladies, keep it clean. There isn't actually a question mark in that, but I'm assuming he's asking, should there be a charity match at the end of the season between Yeovil Town men and Yeovil Town ladies?
Did you discuss the 29-0 last week on the podcast?
No.
I think that maybe has possibly inspired this question. Because that was some effort. And that is bonkers. Keeper scored. Just launched the free kick, launched the goal kick, scored.
Poor Lock, that's all I'll say. poor Lock.
Poor Lock. Yeah. I don't know who wins. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'll tell you who I definitely am this weekend. I am all Yeovil.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's go.
Come on, your gloves.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening.